Well, all right, beauty people. Thank you for listening to Ms. V's Real Beauty Talk. And today we're going to be discussing alopecia. And I'm not talking about it for the reason you may think I may be talking about it. I know it's got a lot of press behind it nowadays because of a certain event, which I am not going to add my 2 cents to that. But I'm actually talking about this because this is part of a chapter that I am discussing on my YouTube channel, which feel free to check me out on YouTube at Miss V's Beauty Tutorials, where I do theory classes, which is lecture on things from the textbook for students who are learning and studying for state board or who are in school and they don't really understand the chapter in theory class. So I just kind of reiterate the chapters, and right now we're on chapter 11, which is properties of the hair and scalp. But this is going to be a lengthy podcast, because I usually do them for about 30 minutes or so. So this may sound weird, but I'm new to podcasting, so I don't have like a rehearsed type thing going on. It's just I have information that I like to share and I speak it all out until my heart's content and then I'm done. So however long the podcast takes, that's how long it takes. And then when I'm tired of talking, it's just done. So if you're not used to that, I get it. But this is it. That's why it's called Real Beauty Talk, because I'm going to give you the real deal on the ups and lows of doing hair and the real deal and how things should be. What I want to talk to you about today is, first off, what is alopecia? What are some ways that it can be caused? And then what are some services that you can provide for clients that have alopecia? What are some natural ways that you can take care of it? And what are some ways that can be taken care of it that aren't so natural? And it doesn't necessarily always result in you getting your hair fully regrown, unfortunately. And I am one of those people who has battled with alopecia, I want to say since I was younger than 25, but I didn't notice it until I was 25, because I had some issues going on prior to that. Because I remember when I was in beauty school, my teacher had told me some things about my hair, and she was right on that aspect, because at that point my hair was thinning in some areas, not to where there was no hair growing in. It still was growing in, but it was thinner than the rest. So anyway, the first thing, excessive hair loss, is also known as alopecia, and I'm sure you've heard a lot of it because of the event that went on at the academies and blah, blah, blah. What it is, there's different types of it. What are some ways that it can be caused depends on what type of alopecia that a person may have. Now, let's start with the most common. The most common, which it says it's over 5 million people that suffer with this type, is alopecia areata. And now what happens with that one is the immune system actually starts to attack the hair follicles, which is a pretty horrible thing, because your hair follicles are part of who you are. But the body doesn't know that, so it triggers an immunity response, which attacks the hair follicles. So at first, it can start falling out in patches, but in time, it can turn into an overall thing, meaning, and that's called alopecia totalis or universalis. That means you have no hair over your entire body. Your eyebrows start leaving, your eyelashes, so everything is gone. And then you have postpartum alopecia, which is common when you have a baby. So a lot of times you'll notice, if you are a woman and you have had children, you've experienced being pregnant, I know for myself, I can only speak for me. My hair was wonderful. It grew long when I was pregnant. I didn't really notice my hair thinning out too much, though, after I had my son. You do have excessive shedding. And sometimes women will freak out and say, oh my God, I'm losing all my hair. But that's normal because you have to think of this. Your body went through a whole hormonal shift for 9 to 10 months. And now your body is going through a hormonal shift, trying to go back to the way it was pre-pregnancy. So then all those hormones are trying to shift back to how it was before, which affects your hair. So then you may notice that your hair is excessively falling out or shedding. It shouldn't be to the point where you're balding, but that may be in some cases. And the doctors, you know, may prescribe you a topical steroid or give you steroid shots in your head to trigger hair growth. Another type of alopecia we have is androgenic. It's called alopecia, also known as androgenetic. This comes from genetics, age. It can also come from hormonal changes. And in this case, your hair, so backtrack a little bit. Your hair, there's two types of hair on your body. Excuse me. You have what's called vellus hair, which is also known as your peach fuzz. That's the stuff when you're in the sun and you see those little fine baby blonde hairs on your face. Could be all over your face, could be on your arms. So on those parts of the body, the hair should be finer than the hair on your head or like beard hair. So beard hair and the hair on your head and in your private areas would be called terminal hair, where it's thicker, it grows thicker, the hairs are more coarse. Well, in this case, this type of alopecia, your hair on your head actually becomes like peach fuzz. So let's talk some of the ways that alopecia can be caused. And here's another thing I wanted to mention, another one that's not even in the book. It's called traction alopecia. And that's where you're pulling the hair too tight, whether it be through braids, braiding extensions, ponytails, anything that's excessively pulling the hair. So that's why I never recommend when you're, you know, I know when I was a kid, we grew up wearing ponytails. And as I grew older, I put my hair way too tight in ponytails, you know, where my eyes were pulled back and slanted looking. And we thought that was cute. But over the years, when you're doing that, the smaller your child is, when you're pulling their hair in those ponytails, and you got to remember that's baby hair at that point that you're pulling up in all those ponytails. That hair can grow in weaker, and the hairline around there can become thinner where they have no edges. That kind of stuff can happen. Traction alopecia can be caused when you're yanking extensions out. If you have glue-in extensions and you're not removing those properly, tape-in extensions, if you're not removing those properly, you're just kind of ripping them out the hair, you can cause bald spots. I remember when fusion extensions first came out and they used a hot glue before they started using keratin. And I had a couple of students where they had taken those extensions out and they had bald spots in between. That would be a result of traction alopecia. So those are ways that alopecia can be caused as far as the traction goes. The other I've already described to you, it could be genetics, could be hormones. Also, it could be medications. I mean, over the years, a lot of people have diabetes. But I'm going to tell you something else that I think I've mentioned in prior podcasts. And sometimes, forgive me, I don't remember. So I'm just going to say it again. A lot of times it's products that we use. It could be the shampoos we've used, starting off with, no, I won't mention the name, but certain baby shampoos, starting off with that, they're not good for the hair. You have to consider our water. Most of our water has some kind of treatment done with all the different things. And if it wasn't true, they wouldn't sell filters in the stores that you can filter out all these chemicals and dirt from the water. So you figure the water is affecting the pores in our head where our hair is. And then you're using these store-bought shampoos and conditioners with perfumes and all kind of chemicals. So over the years, you will notice your hair starts thinning out and then it could stop growing. Now, this is what I will say from my perspective growing up. I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and when I was growing up, there were hardly any people that I saw with balding heads. And I will say in the 80s is more when I noticed that it was more men. And they used to call it male pattern baldness. And then as I got older, I noticed that women were starting to go bald, which let me know that it was more than what they were saying. Because most of the time, they'll tell you it's genetics. Most of the, you know, the higher ups, the scientists and the doctors, it's genetics. But that can't all be true because it just makes no sense how hardly no one, just like when I was little, there was barely anyone that was overweight. Very rare did I see anyone overweight. And then as I grew older, I started seeing more and more people become overweight. Well, that was because there was a shift in the foods that we were eating and what they've done to our food, it affects us. So then you start seeing more people getting chubby. That's just how it is. So now men and women suffer from baldness. It's not just a male thing. And they used to have a club, hair club for men. And now I think it's just called the hair club. I knew a couple of people that work there and they do amazing work where they sometimes they can add hair fibers to some of the thinning hair. So it's almost like eyelash extensions, but it's hair extensions in a way where they add two or three hair fibers onto a hair and then they can fill in that thinning area. So that's one thing. They offer surgery. So of course, in that case, they're taking out patches. You know, it's almost like planting. They're taking out patches from the fields of hair where there's, you know, hair that grows regularly. And then they put it in the areas where it's thinned out, where it's balding. The only problem is, I would say later on, is that those particular hair follicles have memory cells. So they remember when they were going thinner. Which means over time, even though you've had that surgery done, those hair follicles will remember that they were thinning and they'll start thinning again. So that's one thing that sucks with that. Also, there's toupees. We call them, some people call them wiglets or installs, you know, if you will. Toupees is kind of outdated. But installs, same thing. And now they have new ways of, I watch people on social media do wondrous things where they take synthetic hair, they call it Rasta hair or something similar to that. And they, you know, shave the head clean, make sure there's a great adhesive there. And then they lay down piece by piece the hair. And then they take the clippers and shave it down. And it, you would never know that person was bald at all. So some of the services, ways, well, let's do natural ways that you can take or help assist with your alopecia. Depends on, you know, of course you got to go to a dermatologist. Been there, I've done that. I've done just about everything. And in one case, my dermatologist gave me a steroid, a topical steroid, and it did absolutely nothing. My sister recommended me to go and get shots in my head. I don't want to do that. So that's like the one thing I haven't done. But I've taken biotin, which for some people it works. I think it depends on how severe your alopecia or excessive hair loss is. It depends on what kind of alopecia it is. because like for the autoimmune, you would have to deal with a doctor on that and see if they give some kind of immunity suppressant, but that can affect your whole body and as other sicknesses. So, but the doctor would have to assist you in that. I know about topical products, and vitamins. I've tried them all. I've tried the prenatal vitamins. Prenatal vitamins only made me eat like I was pregnant, and it did not help my hair to grow back. I tried biotin. It just made the hairs that I had darker, but it did not make any hair grow. I've tried hair and nail vitamins. Same thing. My nails grew, my hair didn't. I have not tried rosemary oil. So rosemary oil, but you would have to use it with a fractionated oil, meaning an oil that would help dilute it. So for instance, coconut oil or olive oil, and a natural oil of your choice that absorbs well into the skin. Otherwise, you could get burned by rosemary oil, but it in stimulates blood flow to the scalp. To help with hair growth, I haven't tried that. There's castor oil. Some people swear by that. The black, I tried the black Jamaican kind. I'm down to try anything natural. I will do anything natural, almost anything natural. Let's backtrack on that. So I've tried it on my eyelashes, I've tried it on my eyebrows, I've tried it on my hair, did nothing. There is a product that I found on Instagram, and I have been following them for quite a few years now. Well, I shouldn't say that, about 5 years. And it's called Edge Entity. That, if you check out their page, you can see they have different cases of alopecia, and within weeks, they've experienced hair growth. I haven't really used it faithfully enough to see real progress. And I think because my alopecia is so severe, it's been so long, I don't know if any hair would grow back. I had used it for 3 months straight, and for me, I got a little bit of fuzz, but after that, I didn't really continue to use it. So, but I do believe that it works. And I believe, like, for instance, for traction alopecia, when women have lost their edges from braids and all that, and you can see the pictures, clearly it works. But that's because the hair follicle has not died and there's still potential for hair to grow out of that. In my case, I don't believe because certain areas of my head has been bald for so long, I don't believe that those hair follicles are alive. It would take a real miracle to stimulate them to life to get hair to grow out. So right now, what I've been using is a spray that I found on Amazon, and it has minoxidil in it, which I never tried. Well, yeah, I did try Women's Rogaine, but I wasn't consistent with it. Usually, after like a month or so, if I don't see anything, I will stop. So with that, that didn't really work for me. I tried all kind of products for hair thinning. One company, when they first came out, I tried it and it did stimulate some, vellus hair, some baby hair growth. But then it was so expensive, so when I couldn't afford to buy any more, all that vellus hair just fell out. And that's a key thing too. You want to know that whatever it takes to get your hair back, if you can get it back, you can never ever stop doing what you're doing. You have to do it for the rest of your life. So you have to be ready to do that. So castor oil, Edge Entity, there's rosemary oil. People swear by rice water. I've heard about that. I have not tried that. Told you about hair plug surgery and the fiber extensions. There's LED light, which I haven't tried that for hair growth. But I did use that on my mom. So in 2006, my mom had a stroke, and we could not use high frequency on her, which high frequency is good for hair growth. I did used to use that on my head. That's something that you could, it's multi-use, multi-purpose. You can use it for acne. or you can use it for hair growth. And I had students who used it on their eyebrows that were thin, and within 2 weeks, their eyebrows were fully grown in. I used it on my hair, and the fuzz that had grown in didn't fall out when I stopped using the high frequency. Like, it stimulated it to grow in. But again, I wasn't consistent with it. Although I do have a high frequency machine now, so I need to get back on that. But with high frequency, like, for instance, you could put your rosemary oil on your head if you want to, and then you could use the high frequency. The only thing is, if you have any heart issues, you have to be careful, because it is speeding up your heart rate, because it stimulates the blood flow to that area that you're applying it to. But LED, if you have heart issues, you can still use it. It's a light, but you want to use the red LED light. The blue light is for acne, and I forgot what the green light is for, but the red light aids in healing, like broken blood vessels, all that kind of stuff. That's a whole nother podcast. That light is a miracle light. I love it. And if I had not seen it, I would not believe it as far as hair growth goes. My mom had a stroke, and when she got out the hospital, she had excessive thinning on the very top of her head where you could just see through. You could see her head, and we could not use high frequency on her, so we used the LED light. She came twice a week, and she had these hair products that she was putting on her hair at the time, and we would use the LED light with that so it would push it further into her scalp for 20 minutes per session, twice a week. Within 2 weeks, I'm not kidding, her hair started filling in. And you, if you're a beauty professional, you know your hair on average grows about a half an inch per month. But I'm not kidding you, in 2 weeks, it started filling in. She did that for about a month or two, and her hair was completely grown in after a stroke. So I swear by that kind of stuff. Here's the thing, though. As a professional, I cannot tell you or guarantee you that it heals. I can only tell you what I've seen and what I've experienced, and I can tell you that it helps with that. So it doesn't reverse, but it can help with that. It depends on what your situation is, because sometimes you have excessive hair loss just from stress, and that's a real thing too. Some other services that you can do for a client that has excessive hair loss is you can consider doing wigs. And I am so thankful and grateful for the wigs that we have now. We have full lace wigs, we have lace front wigs, and they look so real. So it just brings confidence back into your life, your everyday life. You know, I wear wigs all the time now. And when I have my wig on, I just treat it like it's my hair, and I feel like it's my hair. And I'm not going to lie to you, sometimes I really wish, especially when I look at, you know, some women with long, beautiful hair, and I really wish sometimes I could just snatch my wig off and I miss my hair. But I try not to dwell on it because it's too heartbreaking. But we'll talk about that in a minute, because it is a whole emotional ride when you're suffering with hair loss. It's a confidence thing. And I tell you, whoever is living with alopecia right now, kudos to you for being brave enough to, deal with it. Because it can really destroy you, your confidence. You know, women especially. Men can kind of get away with shaving their hair off, but I feel bad for them too, because I know how that feels. You're a young man, you got a head full of hair, and then all of a sudden your hair is thinning out. And when you look in the mirror, you see this huge round circle of baldness and only hair at the bottom, you know, and they're people too. And that's a horrible feeling. I can't even imagine. Well, I can imagine because I'm going through it. But I will say this, most men can pull off just wearing a bald head, and they can still look cute with it. I don't think too many women, if they wanted to do that, really can get away with that. It's very few. And boy, you have to be bold and confident. Like for me, I was shaving my hair completely off because I hated seeing the patches of baldness and then hair in some areas. And then I'll go into this thing, okay, I'm going to let my hair grow out and see what grows in. And then when I see it, I just get so frustrated and I hate it. So then I'm just tempted to shave it all off. And it's the older I'm getting, the worse it's gotten. So I've come to the realization, well, semi-realization, because I still, if I hear something new that's going to help hair grow, I will try everything. And then when it doesn't work, then, it is what it is. I guess I'll just have to wear wigs my whole life. I do quick weaves sometimes when I don't want to be bothered with a wig. Sometimes I have to deal with wigs that don't fit properly. They're too big for my head, all that kind of stuff. And that gets frustrating. And sometimes I just want to flat out not have a wig on. I just want my head, but I can't let anybody see it. And then, it chips away at your confidence as far as for me, I'm single. I'm like, okay, how am I ever going to get married? I would never be able to tell my husband, or show him my head. There's no way in HELL that I'm going to do that. I would have to really, really trust you. Very few people have seen my real hair. But speaking of that, my story as far as alopecia goes, when I was little, I always say I looked like Chaka Khan. I had long, thick, curly hair. And I could honestly say that growing up as a mixed child, there was a stigma over having just African American community, period. There's a stigma over having good hair and bad hair. And so my hair was considered to be bad because it was very dry and it would get super fluffy if I wore it down. So I wasn't allowed to wear it down. I wore it in ponytails. But if I could have that hair back today, man, I would be so happy. Here's what I've learned from doing hair is anytime you have curly hair, it's going to be dry. The more curly it is, the drier it's going to be. So, unfortunately, to me, when I was growing up, we didn't have many products that catered to curly hair, moisturizing hair. It was just your typical, regular store-bought products. There was not a lot of stuff like there is now. So when I was a teenager, I begged my mom to let me get a Jerry curl because I wanted my hair to be manageable enough where I could wear it down. So that was when I think I was 13 when I got my first Jerry curl, and I loved it. It was the curls that I wanted it to be. It was manageable. I could wear it down. I could wear it up in ponytails, half up, half down. Which, when I was a kid, I never did. And then, when I got pregnant, when I was 17, my hair started changing. And at that point, what I've realized now is when you're going through the hormonal changes of being a teen, you really don't want to put chemicals on the hair there because the hair is already going to change. And so, those chemicals can permanently alter that. So when I was pregnant with my son, my hair turned completely manageable. It was a lot thinner than when I was younger, but it wasn't thin. It was still like a medium texture, and I had a lot of it, but it wasn't as thick as when I was little. Then I noticed when I was about 21, 22, I was in beauty college, and I had my hair from pregnancy shaved in the back, and I had it in like a asymmetrical A line, and then I let that grow out. But here's the thing I noticed too. My hair used to go down to my bottom there, the bottom of my back, and then when I became a teenager, my mom had cut it, and when I started permanent, it would go like past my shoulders but not down my back like it was when I was younger. So then I used to cut my hair off into like a stacked A-line, symmetrical A-line. It was shaved in the back, tapered down. And then I noticed on the outer parts, people would tell me, oh, your hair is so thin on the outer parts when they would shave it. But it would still look cute and it would still look decent, but it was getting thinner. That was in my early 20s. And then when I was 25, those hairs back there where it was thinning started balding. And I still had a lot of hair on the top above it so I could cover it. But I still, you know, I was like in a denial because I would still wear my hair up in ponytails. And I remember I was working at a bank, a mortgage company run by a bank. And I was on my lunch and I was in the restroom and the lady said, how long have you been bald? I said, excuse me? She goes, how long have you been bald? And I was like, I don't know. And then she goes, well, at least yours is in the back where you can cover it up. She goes, mine is right here in the front. And I remember how devastated I was. And I was paranoid. I was like, oh my God, is this what everybody's seeing? You know, I'm bald. And is this what they're secretly saying behind my back? You know, that type of stuff. So then I started wearing my hair down. I didn't wear it up in ponytails anymore. But I could say a lot of my thinning was caused by me. I believe that. I also believe that it was genetics because my mom, she has fine hair. But when she was younger, she had a lot of fine hair. So the individual hairs, the texture of it was fine. But the density of it, she had a lot of fine hairs per square inch. So it looked thicker. And then as she got older, her hair started thinning out. Her ponytails were getting thinner and thinner. So the same thing was happening to me. But certain things, when I look back in my life, like before I started beauty college, I was perming my own hair. I was using box color on my hair. I learned how to do braid-in extensions. So I was always braiding my hair, but I would braid it too tight. I mean, literally where my eyes were pulled up. You could see the bumps in my head because I would braid them so tight. And then when I would take that hair out, you could see all the hairs that came out with it with the little roots on the end. But I just never thought that my hair wouldn't grow back. I don't know what I was thinking. Because it always did grow back. So I just kind of took that for granted that it was always going to grow back. And then it didn't. So when I hit 25 is when it started balding, but I still was in denial about it. And I still would try stuff for it, you know, put topical stuff on that area, try vitamins and all that stuff. And I would get some hairs in, but then I don't know, I still would wear it in ponytails. And then, like I said, after that lady called me out, I started wearing my hair down more. And then when I got in my 30s, because I just found a picture of myself in my 30s, I still had my front hairline and it still was thick. I didn't have any baldness on my edges. But I remember when I would wear like quick weaves back then and I would leave them in for over 2 weeks and I would gently take them out. But it would still pull my hair out on the top of my head. I would have bald patches. So then I started wearing scarves like headbands to cover that up, but then the scarves started thinning my hair out around the edges of my hairline. And then by the time I hit 40, it was thinner, so I just always wore headbands to cover that up, but it just made it worse. So it was kind of like, damn if I do and damn if I don't, because I would either show my thinning hair to everybody or wear these headbands to cover it, but then the headbands would be continuing to break my hair off. So now I'm 49 and I have very few patches on my head where hair is growing out, but the majority of the front of my hair and on the major side of the left side of my head, it's bald. And on the right side, like around my hairline, bald. So I wear wigs all the time, but I have the minoxidil that I'm using now. I forgot what it's called. Carasol, it's called. So I've been trying that, and I just spray it on my scalp and dab it in, work it in. I try not to wear anything too tight, but it seems like anything that I do to my hair, it just will tear it out. No matter if I don't wear it, like even just wearing wig caps will break my hair off. So then there's nothing I can do, because I am surely not going to walk into my job and let everybody see my bald head. I'm just not that confident. So yeah, that's my hair story, my balding story, which it started off as traction alopecia that I believe turned into androgenic alopecia. And so since I've aged, I'm going through menopause, I'm on high blood pressure medication, all that stuff has affected my hair growth. And every so often I'll get this fight in me like, okay, I'm going to fight this and I'm going to, you know, fight to get my hair back. Still in that kind of mode. It's like a part of me will never give up hope that I will get my hair back. But then it gets discouraging, and it can really damage your whole being if you let it. So like on one of my advertisements for this podcast, I told everybody I was going to be doing this podcast. It takes a special kind of strength to live with alopecia. And so really to talk about this, it's good. It's therapeutic for me. And hopefully anybody else out there that listens, you may can relate. I can never speak for everybody and tell you how everybody else feels. I only can tell you about myself, and I can only imagine how someone else feels with that. Women have, and men have, lost hair due to cancer, chemo, radiation, all that stuff affects your hair. I remember I had a new lace front wig that I never wore. I tried it on. I didn't like the way it looked. This was some years ago. So I didn't know what I was going to do with it, because it was beautiful. It was cut into a stacked bob. But in the layers, it went from dark brown to a golden, like a medium brown. And then it went, put it this way, the bottom layer was a really light blonde. So it like broke down the dark brown, the light brown, the golden blonde, and then the white blonde. So it was gorgeous. And so one of my students, her mom had experienced hair loss. I think she had cancer and she was recovering from the treatments. She was devastated about her hair loss. I said, hey, I have this, because she was like, what can my mom try? I said, look, they have so many good wigs out there now that look real. It's not like the rug look that's sitting on your head like somebody threw a piece of carpet on your head anymore. They have these lace front wigs. They have full lace wigs where you could part it down the middle and you can braid your hair and it looks like your scalp. So these are amazing things for us. So I said, well, look, I have this new wig that I never wore, and let her try it on and see how she likes it, and she can have it. So I brought it the next day. I gave it to her, and she took it home. A couple of days later, I asked her, I said, so what'd your mom think? How did she try it on yet? She said her mom cried. She was so happy, and she felt so wonderful to have hair on her head. And these are the things that we as cosmetologists can do for others. You know, some people have the mentality, and I've heard ministers say this, and I'm not going to keep you too much longer, but I've heard ministers say, oh, you know, if someone doesn't have money, they can't teach you about having money. And somebody, you know, that's divorced, they can't teach you about your marriage. To me, that's not true. In other words, what I'm relating that to, someone who has lost their hair, they can't take care of people that have hair. Well, from my perspective, I've had a lot of hair. And now I don't have a lot of hair. And so for me, as a cosmetologist, I take great pride in sharing with people how precious their hair is. And I will do anything to help preserve that person's hair because I know how it feels to be without it. And that is a pain I don't think I'll ever get over. I can live with it and it becomes bearable. But as soon as I take this wig off and I see my hair, it's devastating. It can be devastating. So I would say that, you know, for us as cosmetologists, whether we're bald or not, yes, you can help people. And there's so many people out there, you can tell by their look. I've seen it where like people have come into the school to demonstrate. They're doing the installs, the toupees on men. And you could see the look when they're in front of the class, vulnerable, showing their bald head. And then when that install is put on their hair and it's cut and it's styled, and you can't even tell that it's not their hair, the smile they get on their face and the confidence is back. We give that to people. So back to what those ministers say, I don't agree with that. Because if someone is divorced and they really, are sad about that, they could teach others who are married, here's what you don't do. If you don't want to get divorced like I am, here's what you don't do. So in my perspective, if you don't want to lose your hair, this is what I tell my students. Mostly all my students I've had over the years have beautiful hair. And you know, most people aren't grateful. You know, they'll pull and tug on their hair. And, oh, I can't stand this hair. My stupid hair, blah, blah, blah. And I tell them, look, your hair can hear you. It understands you. You better love your hair. You better treasure your hair before your hair gets tired of you saying that and it leaves you one day. And then you'll be devastated and you'll be telling people how beautiful and how long and thick a hair you had, and now it's all gone. So with that, my beauty people, I want to thank you so much for listening. This is the longest podcast I've had because this is a topic that is near and dear to my heart. But I would say if you have any stories that you want to share about your alopecia or loved ones that you know with alopecia, I would love to hear it. If you have any comments that you want to share with me, of course, all positive, I would hope. And if you enjoyed listening to this, I would love a like and check me out on TikTok, VonTalk48. Check me out on YouTube, Ms. V's Beauty Tutorials. And thank you so much for listening to Ms. V's Real Beauty Talk. I want to say be encouraged if you are suffering with alopecia, with excessive hair loss. There are ways that you can work with it. There are so many hair options out there now, so you don't have to go around showing and being vulnerable if you don't want to be. It's all right. And tomorrow's a new day. So be encouraged, people. And I'll talk to you next time. Bye.